Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the City of Joy. If you would like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you enjoy today's message.
Well, Blaise Pascal said like this, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human being. And it is this God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. But sometimes we try and fill it with many different things. And it is when we do that, it is when we try and fill this God-shaped vacuum with many different things, then out of that cry, out of that frustration, out of that hunger to get closer to God, comes a cry that calls out to God. And this morning, even as we, for a few moments, look at our text, this question that we will look at this morning is a question that has been tried to be answered ages over and over and over again. And the question is, what does the Lord require? What does God require? Or in other words, what does God want? And we try and fill our hearts, or we try and fill this question with many, many different things. And even as I thought about it this morning, I was thinking about if our experience has been one where there is discipline and when there is strictness, then our answer to this question, what does God require, is simple. Discipline. God is strict. But if our experiences have been one where it's about my life, it's about what I want to do, then our answer to this question is what God wants, or what does God require, what does God want from me? Well, it doesn't make sense, because I will still do what I want to do, irrespective of what God requires of me. And the situation in this passage that we will look at is no different from the situation that we live in today. A situation where people did what they wanted. A situation where there was chaos. A situation where if you ever broke into a conversation with anyone, all you heard was, this is happening, that is happening. You know what? This one is doing like this. That one did like that. And why is it happening? Or even worse, God doesn't care. And we put the blame on God. Well, this morning, for a few moments, we will look at this passage. But before we get there, we've been discussing, we've been looking, we've been learning together the meaning of fullness of life in Jesus. And as we've looked at this theme, the fullness of life in Jesus, we have looked at how the fullness of God's love is important in our lives. We've looked at how the fullness of joy that only Jesus gives will bring us happiness or satisfy our soul. But this morning, it is important that we pause right here. Pause, maybe take a pit stop as it would be, and look at the book of Micah this morning to try and understand the intent of this question. The question this morning that we look at is not just a question that is just put forth with us, but a question that is out of intent. What does the Lord require this morning? What does the Lord require this morning? If God loves you and me this morning, then God is expecting us to have a certain standard of life. As followers of Jesus, you and I cannot do what everybody else does. As followers of Jesus, God's standard for you and me is different. As followers of Jesus, God calls you and I to be different. Allow me to share with you a little bit this morning on the background, just so that we understand clearly what does the Lord require. Well, like I said, if our time today is full of hatred and chaos and war and people doing what they want to do without really having much regard for God or His Word, that's true this morning. So it is with that time. So it is then, because then the world was also corrupt. It was rebellious. It was full of sin. There was greed. There was oppression. There was hypocrisy, injustice, murder, and the list can go on. And it is in this situation that God calls a young man to be His voice. Who is this young man? This young man is named Micah. He's from a small town. He comes from a humble background, but yet is chosen by God to be his voice to God's people, himself. The people who God loved, the people who were special to God, the people who had a very close place in the heart of God. It is these people that God calls Micah to be his voice or to be his prophet. The nation of Israel was special to God, but yet over and over and over again, and I say that with purpose, over and over again, they kept rejecting God. They kept rejecting his principles. They kept rejecting his laws. They chose to live a life of sin. But every time they rejected God, every time they turned their back on God, God reached out to them even more. That made me ask myself, how many times have I rejected God? How many times have I done things my own way, and rather taking time to pause and think, what would God have me do in this situation? What would God want me to say in this situation? Or how would God want me to react to the situation? Oftentimes I find myself, or I've found myself doing things my way and rejecting God's way. But then God is good this morning. He is full of grace. He is full of love. And Micah emphasizes the need for justice and peace. The need for a love that only God can give and nothing else or no one else can. Micah makes it clear, God hates sin, but not sinner. God hates sin. God hates wrong, but he loves you and I this morning. And because he loves you and I this morning, he reaches out to us in mercy. He reaches out to us in grace. He reaches out to us, giving us that favor one more time and calling us to his own. Is it any different this morning? Has God changed? The answer to that is he hasn't changed, and thank God he hasn't, because he still loves you and me. He still loves us even though we fall, even though we make mistakes. But let me say this out clear this morning. God still hates sin and injustice and wrong because it hurts the heart of God. It pains God's heart this morning to see injustice, to see sin, to see wrong striving. And as you and I look at our world, well, that's the picture we get. As you and I open our newspapers, as you and I switch on our TV, that's the news loud and clear that's thrown in us. But this morning, we are here because we are God's people, and God speaks hope into our lives. Even though you and I see hopelessness around us, even though you and I see injustice around us, even though you and I see things that are wrong around us, friends, this morning, the truth is, Jesus is coming. Jesus will come. And when he comes, he says, there will be no injustice. When he comes, he says there will be hope. When he comes, he says there will be love. Well, that's for you and I, the little background. That's for you and I, a little canvas on which you and I can further work as we look at the text this morning, Micah chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. That's the little background that you and I can have. And out of that background, learn one thing. What is that? That is that God has not changed. God still hates sin. God still hates injustice. But this morning there is hope. And that hope is Jesus. Well, Micah chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. And it goes like this. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? In verse 8 this morning, know my people, God says, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. And this, verse 8, is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what he requires this morning, to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Here Micah pictures for you and I a courtroom scene. And a courtroom scene not like any other. A courtroom scene not where there is only condemnation. A courtroom scene not where only there is judgment. But yes, God is the judge. And he tells his people what he requires of them. But there is hope this morning. And that hope that Jesus offers, or that hope that God offers to you and I, is a call to repentance. Jesus says, hey, come to me. You don't have to live like this anymore. You don't need to be like this anymore. Come. Come to me. It's a call this morning to a loving relationship with Jesus, not to bound rituals. And this morning, you and I know the fact that there are rituals that surround our lives daily. There are rituals that we fall into. There are rituals that we find ourselves trapped into, knowingly or even sometimes unknowingly. Penance, giving up things, sacrificing. Sometimes all of these things turn out only to be rituals because we do it out of a selfish motive. We do it because we want to try and say, hey, God, you want something? This is what I can give to you. Lord, I will not do this. Now, are you happy if I don't do this? God asked you and I this morning, like he asked the people then, why have you done this to me? Why do you continue to reject my love? Why do you continue to reject me and turn your back and walk away? Why do you do this to me? And if you and I will read verse 6, the response is very funny. In verse 5, God asked this question, why do you do this? Why do you do this? Why do you reject me? Why do you go away from me? And in verse 6, instead of saying, God, we're sorry. God, we want to come back to you. The question that they ask is so funny. They said, God, tell me, what can we bring to you? As if God has a list of things that he doesn't have and he needs you and me to bring those things. As if God is sitting there and he's you know, not able to do anything for himself. So he looks at you and he looks at me, his creation. Think about it this morning. God has created you and me. We have not created him. And yet this question, yet verse 6, the response of the people is, God, tell me, what do you want? What do you want me to bring? Do you lack anything, God? The response is so funny. Instead of coming to God, rather they ask God, what does he want? As if God lacks anything. And this morning, you and I, me, many times we've asked God that same question. Hey God, listen, won't you tell me what do you want? And I will give you. Just go ahead. Aray, God, just say, you want 2 hours of my time? Okay, I'll give it to you on Sunday. Now are you happy? That's it. Leave me alone from Monday to Saturday. God, what do you want? Do you want me to do this? Okay, I will do this. After this, would you please leave me so that I can live my own life? We're sometimes more interested in living the way we want than living the way God wants. Instead of seeing this relationship that God calls his people to, instead of seeing this relationship that God calls you and I to, many times we take this for granted. Many times instead of looking at it, instead of running after it, instead of holding it close to us as a promise, as a covenant of God, saying, God, I love you. And because you love me, God, what else can I do but love you? We rather make it into a contract and say, hey, God, I will do this, this, this. If you will do this, this, this. God, I'm willing to give 2 hours, 2.5 hours of my time on Sunday if you are willing to leave me from Monday to Saturday. God, I'm willing to give this offering if you can leave me alone to what I do in my business from Monday to Saturday. God, I'm willing to do this if you will leave me to let me decide how do I want to do things. If you will leave me to let me decide where do I draw the line. So you don't draw the line. God, I decide where to draw the line. So it's okay for me to compromise a little bit. It doesn't hurt anybody. Well, this morning, that's the kind of people. That was the kind of lifestyle that people followed then, and it pained God's heart. And so God, that's why he asked them, tell me, why do you do this? And then he says, hey, listen, you've not got it yet, but let me spell it out for you. I require this of you. I require you to have a special standard. I require you to follow me with every single thing you have. I require you to run after me. I require you to do everything you do only for one purpose, and that is so that my name is glorified. In Psalm 40, verse 6 to 8 this morning, God makes it so clear. He doesn't require anything that you and I offer to him. He doesn't require any of these. He doesn't require our offerings. He doesn't require all those things that you and I bring before God this morning. God says, don't you understand? I don't need your rituals. Don't you understand? I don't need those things that you do just out of an external thing. But I'm more interested this morning in your heart. And friends, I speak this to you and even to me, that many times let's be mindful of how we come before God this morning. Many times let's be mindful of how we approach the throne of God, how we come into worship God. Because sometimes we can come, and I tell myself that sometimes I can come in before God, approaching God's throne with my life all puffed up, saying, "Hey God, listen, I'm here." And then my worship is all external. I sing those songs. I clap my hands. I lift my hands. I even close my eyes to be pious and look holy. But in my heart is far away. My heart is probably at home. My heart is probably at what happened this past week and how can I get back at this person. My heart is probably on the match that will happen in a few hours from now. But here, I clap my hands. I lift my voice. I even sing louder than the person standing next to me. But it's all meaningless. Because it's not out of our heart of worship. If not careful, you and I can fall into this trap of just doing things to please God rather than being who God wants us to be. We can fall into a trap, let me say that again, in doing things, going through the motions, going through rituals. And sometimes we can sit here and we can say, "I don't have rituals." Well, let me tell you, you and I can have rituals as well. How about the ritual of water baptism, where you take baptism, but your life is far away from testifying, is far away from being a witness for Jesus. Where you and I can come into a service just like this, lift our hands, like I said, do everything, walk out the same way you walked in. Where you and I can attend care group, when you and I can come for prayer, where you and I can fast for many days, but it's all worthless. God says, "I don't need this," because you don't do it out of a heart of worship. Friends, God this morning is so clear. He says, "I don't require those things. I don't require. What can you bring to me? What can you give to me this morning?" And the answer to that is nothing. God, I can bring nothing but myself. God, I can bring nothing because you have everything. You are the source of my very being. You are the source of my very being. In other words, God is saying, all I need is you. All I need is that your desire be me. All I need that in everything that you do, you have one desire, and that is to live for me, to do what I ask you to do, to live in a manner where people around you would see Jesus in you and me, would see Jesus in our conversations, would see Jesus in our interactions, would see Jesus in what we do, in our business, in the way we teach, in the way we live our lives. Do your neighbors, do my neighbors this morning know that we follow Jesus? Verse 8 puts it all together this morning for us. Your response, my response to God is, God, what can I bring to you? God, what can I give you? Aren't you happy I give you this much time? Aren't you happy I give this much offering? Aren't you happy I do this? Aren't you happy I bring my family to church? God says, hey, listen, you missed it all. If that's what you think I require, if you think I require your time, if you think I require your money, if you think I require you to be a good driver and bring your family to home, you missed the point. I've missed the point this morning, because what God really requires is you and I. And he spells it out in verse 8. He says, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. If you and I don't get that this morning, then let's get it right now. If you and I have missed the mark all this while, and I tell myself that if I have missed anything this morning, then I better get this right. God wants me to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. Act justly. What does that mean this morning? It means that you and I take a good self-check. It means that you and I be fair. It means you and I be honest in our dealings. It means you and I do what is right. It means you and I don't walk in with a mask. You and I don't walk in with a facade. And then we walk out, the mask is off. And we, who we are outside, but inside, we put on a mask. The mask that says, hey, I love Jesus with everything I have. I love Jesus with all I have. What it means this morning is there's no compromise. What it means this morning is there's no, not even an opportunity for a bribe. Not even a chance for you and I to slip up. Not a chance for you and I to even think, hey God, can I handle this myself? In Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, it says this so clearly, you must do justice. It's easy this morning. It's easy for you and I, the world that we live in, to criticize. It's easy for you and I, the world that we live in, to think, why don't somebody take care of that thing? When you and I walk by the streets, when you and I drive, when you and I read the newspapers of injustice, of oppression, of the poor being treated wrong, of children being abused, of women being misused and just seen as objects, you and I, it's so easy to sit back and just criticize the system, criticize what's happening, criticize injustice. But how about you and I being justice? How about you and I being God's hand and reaching out with even the little thing that you and I can do to show justice? How about showing justice in our home? How about showing justice in our workplace? How about living a life of justice? Living a life simply which God says, would you do right? That's all I'm asking. Even when others do wrong. Even when there is compromise around, even when there is sin all around, God says, would you be willing to do what is right? If it's right, do it. If it's right, then live for me. Sometimes it's easy to say, you know what, it's not my job. If that is not happening right, it's not my job. It's somebody else's job. Why doesn't he do what he has to do? God's calling you and I to act justly. And this morning, God is calling you and I to do right. God's calling you and I to see what hurts the heart of God, and that should hurt our heart this morning. God's calling you and I to no more compromise, no more selfish motives, no more living about me, but rather, God, what can I do? That should be our cry. Let us do right, because out of doing right, we will be able to glorify God. And doing right this morning will only come out of a right relationship with wholehearted devotion to Jesus. If you and I don't build our relationship, if you and I don't daily commit ourselves to God, if you and I don't daily come back to God and say, God, help me live for you, then you and I will never be able to do what is right. You and I will never be able to act justly, because our actions of acting justly will only come out of a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus. So what does God require this morning? Act justly. Secondly, love mercy. In what does this mean? It means to live a life of love and compassion. In today's world, again, there are strings attached to love and compassion. I will love you only if you will do this for me. You know what? I will help you only if you will help me. There are strings attached. What strings? Strings of selfish motives, strings of obligation, strings of power that are attached to love and compassion this morning. But Jesus teaches us the greatest commandment. He says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that's what we think. It's the easy part. Jesus, why didn't you stop there? We think, oh, if only Jesus stopped there, you know what? It would be so good. But then Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's the hard one. That's like a bouncer. That's like a googly that Jesus throws at you and I. You know what? It's easy if you just follow me. It's easy if you just love me. But how about loving the person next to you who will not love you back in return? God's calling you and I to be His hand extended. God's calling you and I to be His feet that goes out. Act justly. Love mercy. In this loving mercy, He calls you and I to an action. Calls you and I to go out of our comfort zone. Calls you and I to step out. And step out with confidence. Step out with this faith that even as you and I step out, Jesus is going to help you reach out to people. Even as we step out, you may not have the means. You may not be able to do anything big. But even as you step out, that one step, you never know what the ripples could do. But He calls you and I this morning to love mercy, to step out in love and in compassion. For too long, the world has been bombarded with hate and injustice and corruption. God is calling you and I, His people, to step out in love. And this can only happen when Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 happens in our lives. Friends, as so long as you and I do things out of our own mind, as so long as you and I evaluate situations from our own point of view, our own perspective, our own mind, you and I will never be able to act in love. You and I will never be able to reach out in love, because to our minds we will say, hey, what is it? What is there for me in this? How can I get something out of this? Your mind will say, you know what? This person didn't do anything good for you. Why are you going to do something good for them? But it's only when Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 happens in our life, then only you and I will be able to act in love and mercy. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This morning, let God's word, let the Holy Spirit renew your minds to see things the way God sees, to view things the way God views, that our hearts would hurt for the things that hurt God's heart. Renewing our minds would set us aside from what the world does, and we would be able to live for God every single time. Renewing our minds would help us to put aside what we think, to put aside what I want to do, and will help us come in surrender and say, God, here I am. What do you want to do? Act justly, love mercy, and finally this morning, walk humbly with your God. What does this mean? And I could find no other meaning for this but simply complete surrender. You know what, friends? It's true. You can act justly. You can do good, like I said, but it's all external. You may even love, but there are strings attached. But if you and I come in complete surrender, if you and I apply what God says, the third thing, walk humbly before your God, then those first two come out of worship. Those first two come out of a heart that says, hey God, you are God. I am only but your creation, but I will do everything possible to see your name lifted up. Walk humbly with your God. Complete surrender. This is the foundation to walking humbly with God this morning. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15. God came down to our level to save us. And we could never, or it is impossible for us to go to His level to save ourselves. Walking humbly must bring us to that realization that God is all I need. Walking humbly must bring us to that realization that God is God and I am only His child. I am only His creation that He loves so dearly that He chose to give His Son Jesus to save me, to save you. We can never know God unless He reveals Himself to us, which He has done in Jesus. Walking humbly must bring us to that point. Walking humbly must bring us to that crossing, that crossroad where you and I only have one choice and one option, that is to bow our knees and to lift our hands and say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me on the cross. And Lord, I give my life to you. Would you use me? Would you help me? Would you allow me to live for you, Jesus, every single day? And this morning it is in Jesus God has revealed himself to us. God has shown us that he is a loving father. It is in Jesus that God has revealed his love for you and me. Sinner like me, but yet Jesus died for me on the cross. Sinners, but yet Jesus chose to die on the cross. Someone said like this, it was not the nails, it was not the crown of thorns who held Jesus on the cross, but it was his love for you and I that kept him there. His love for you and me, his love for human beings, his love for every single person on the face of the earth was what kept Jesus on that cross. And all God requires of you and me this morning is to acknowledge and say, God, I need you. Is to acknowledge and say, God, I come before you in complete surrender. Is to acknowledge and say, God, my dependence is on you. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are all I need this morning. And in that realization this morning, in that confidence, in that posture, when you and I come before God, then friends, it's easy to act justly because God is just. It's easy to love mercy because we've experienced a love beyond measure. This morning, our desire, our only one desire should be, God, I want to live for you. Because I want to enjoy this fullness of life. You know, like I said earlier, we've been looking at the fullness of life, but it all comes down to our relationship with Jesus. The fullness of life is not possible if you and I don't have an intimate, a close, a daily relationship with Jesus. If you and I don't walk closely with Jesus every day, if you and I don't allow Jesus to guide us every day, if you and I don't allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives every day, then we never experience the fullness of life. And then we will never be able to share the fullness of life. What does God require this morning? Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. In order to enjoy the fullness of life, it's not enough just to do right. It's not enough just to love. But what Micah challenges us this morning is to check our lives daily, is to examine our relationship with Jesus daily, is to check our lives and see that we don't take the love of Jesus for granted and do what we want whenever we want. And then when we have a problem, when we run into a situation, we come before Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, you know what? I need you. And once it's done, we give a little offering. Once it's done, we give a little bit of our time. And then we say, okay, Jesus, thank you. I'll see you next time. Jesus must be all that we need. Jesus must be all that you and I desire and run after in order to have the fullness of life. And I don't know if this is the formula, but just as I was preparing, this came up to me. No Jesus, no fullness of life. And no Jesus, then no fullness of life. No Jesus, then no matter what you and I do, no matter how much you and I give, no matter how much you and I beat our bodies, sacrifice, do all those things, we will never experience the fullness of life. I just have two questions for you and I this morning. Question number one, as Micah has challenged us, as God has revealed what he requires of us this morning, it's important that we take a check of our lives. Is the Lord, Jesus, the Lord of our lives? Do you and I live in a manner where we're drawing people to Jesus? Or we're turning a people away from Jesus? This morning, God has said clearly what he requires of us. And that's one thing, that you and I will love him. That you and I will live for him. That you and I will surrender to him.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. We would also be grateful if you would take a moment to rate us on iTunes. Hope you have a great week ahead.